Welcome back to Here and There, the podcast of the Germanic American Institute. This is Günther. Today is June 6th, 2021, and the date is of significance because we are inside the week that brings you Deutsche Tage. In fact, Deutsche Tage 2021 will take place this coming weekend, June 12th and 13th, at the GAI on Summit Avenue. Now, right up front, the hours of Deutsche Tage are Saturday, June 12th, noon through 9 p.m., and Sunday, June 13th, from 11 through 5 p.m. Since the state of Minnesota has lifted the restrictions, you will not need tickets for the 2021 edition of Deutsche Tage, so basically just come on by and join us. Notably, on Saturday at 6 p.m., we will have the official Paulaner keg tap showcasing four individual beers, and attending the keg tap will be the German consul Wolfgang Mössinger. Now, please note that tickets are not required, but if you would like to join us by having a beer or two, a $5 wristband will need to be purchased. You're well familiar if you have attended past events where we've done the same thing. Also, we understand that not everybody is yet 100% comfortable in public spaces, and we want to ensure that you do feel safe. So masks, although not required per state health guidelines, are certainly absolutely welcome. Besides beer and camaraderie, we have a full entertainment menu for you. A variety of live musicians, including the bands Bavarian Musikmeister and Alpensterne, will perform on the outdoor stage during the festival, as well as GAI fan favorite Ron Mackel and master concertinist Josh Eitzer. The 2021 Deutsche Tage program also includes Makam Baklava Turkish Music Ensemble, the Rivers Ballet, and a special appearance by Minnesota Opera soprano Karen Wolverton. Food and drink, of course, are a big draw for Deutsche Tage fans. And this year we have a selection of four Paulaner beers on tap, as well as a grapefruit or non-alcoholic Radler. So if you don't know what a Radler is, come on by, have one. It's really, really recommendable. The Black Forest Inn will serve up Bratwurst and German sides, and desserts will be provided by Ruland's Strudelhaus. Of course, we also do have vendors on site with German goods for sale, or for you to just peruse and see what's actually available. In other news, our German language summer classes are starting on June 12th, and as always, you can find all the event or class-related information on our website, gaimn.org. Now, onward to today's episode. Deutsche Tage, as you have undoubtedly understood at this point, is back, and besides the understandable excitement of being able to see you all again, it is the rich tradition of the event that's getting us just to be a little bit more excited. This episode that you're about to listen to is a replay from Season 2, Episode 5, where we welcomed Deutsche Tage historian Helga to the podcast. Now, most of you have come to know Helga from her recent appearances in our Zoom cooking classes, and today she's taking us back in time to the origins of Deutsche Tage. So, enjoy the episode, and we'll see you next weekend, June 12th and 13th, 2021, at the GAI on Summit Avenue. These days, dates are particularly important as the news are coming at us with lightning speed, as we are navigating our new realities. We also have to be very cognizant that some things, particularly those that are traditions, must remain. This is one such episode, and I do have the very privilege to talk with Helga. Helga is one of our driving forces behind Deutsche Tage. It's quite an interesting conversation that starts looking back to 1963. This is the podcast of the Germanic American Institute.
Welcome. Willkommen.
Where Germanic-speaking European countries,
Germany, Deutschland,
Austria,
Österreich,
Switzerland,
Schweiz,
blend with the Midwestern United States.
Hallo.
Servus.
Grüezi.
We are here and there, and we invite you to come along on the journey. Traditions are going strong, particularly in Germany, Austria, and Switzerland. We do have a couple of thousand years, of course, to develop those traditions. And some of these traditions we are bringing to the United States. The Oktoberfest, of course, being one of the most prominent events every year, but also here at the GAI on Summit Avenue, every year we bring to you Deutsche Tage.
The Deutsche Tage was really founded by our members, like the first president was Mr. Moore and Al Grossman at one time, and we have a list of all these persons, and of course you like to have a festivity where you get it was a small group at the centennial of Minnesota, where they got together and they said, okay, let's do something. And of course, I wasn't here yet at that time. I was still in Germany. I came here in 1963, but this is what I have learned. And that's how, at that time, the Volkswitz Association was founded. Mm-hmm. And they felt they really like to have Deutsche Tage, or at that time it was one day, out in was always the second Sunday in June, mm-hmm. the closest day to Flag Day.
Okay.
And it was myself. I was there, my husband, and with some friends, also people at my age, and with their children. We thought, oh, there's a German day going on. Let's go and see what's going on there, what's happening. And it was just amazing. So many, many people were there. And we walked up there, and there was a speaker on a podium, and it was Wernher von Braun. I think most people know who Wernher von Braun was. And we were just honored to just listen to him talking and telling us of his life in America, and his accomplishments. And and from there on, then one year it was then the Prince Constantine of Bavaria was the guest speaker. And of course, personalities like that, it was kind of hard to find to get them here from far away like that.
Right.
So we found more local people. And many times it was like the honorary consul mm-hmm. of Germany and television personalities like Bob Ryan. Were you here already when Bob Ryan
no,
was
I was not actually. No.
On KSDP? He was such a supporter here in our organization. Also at our monthly meetings after the house was bought, I'm jumping a little ahead now, he was just absolutely wonderful and so supportive to come here and give us a program once in a while, maybe once a year or twice a year sometimes.
So you came to the U.S. in 1963. How long did it take you to discover Deutsche Tage?
It was probably the following year, in 64, that I was the first time with some friends, which I have met in the meantime, you know, so where we came to the first time to the Deutsche Tage.
Did it seem like you discovered a piece of home when you encountered Deutsche Tage?
It was thrilling. It was really, you know, it was just felt so warm and so wonderful to be able to see so many German people here and then German speaking, and it felt very good.
So that was 64.
Yeah.
And then somehow we roped you in and made you part of Deutsche Tage. How did that come about?
How did that come about? It really started out when we made, it was a small group of people at that time, and it developed into larger groups of helping. But at that time, it was a small group of people. We made, 200 pounds of potatoes, and it was in a little kitchen, and it all was just new yet around here. And we didn't have really all the equipments to manage all this. So, but we did make this potato salad, and we were asked to come and help. Simply, it came about to volunteer. There were also charter flights. And when you were on the charter flights, then they thought, well, you can fly to Germany for a very reasonable way. in a reasonable way. Yeah. And so maybe you like to help us out at Deutsche Tag.
Smart.
In sauerkraut, isn't it? Yeah, that's how we got roped into it. but it was fun. It was just really great to, you know, to get together with people and to do that. It was very nice, and I'm still here doing a little bit of it.
Well, I think you are doing a lot. So that's how we actually ended up at the same table right now to have the conversation, because you are doing a lot. But I have to stop at one thing, and I may just overshoot the goal here, but I have to ask, since you mentioned potato salad, which is something we're absolutely known for, mm-hmm. and you're involved in the making of the potato salads,
yeah,
do you have the recipe in your head? Can you tell us what's in it?
Well, the ingredients, but maybe the amounts, I don't really...
Ah, the ingredient list is good enough.
Well, of course, it's red potatoes, mainly, and lately we see a lot of the golden potatoes in the stores. They are very good for that too, and then and you cook them. They have to be really well cooked. It's very important.
Skin on or skin off?
Skin. You cook them skin on, and then when they're cooked and a little bit cool, then you peel them and you slice them as thin as possible. That's also another important thing, that the potatoes are sliced very thin. My mother always said you have to see the knife shining through the slice of potato, you know, when you slice them. So. And then, of course, you need some bacon. You fry the bacon, and you mix that with the potatoes. And then you have the dressing is just really vinegar and oil. And the proportion of the vinegar is 1 to 2, 1 part vinegar, 2 part water. And you heat that, and you pour it over the potato, the sliced potatoes. And you mix it lightly, just kind of lift it through so they don't break apart so much. And then on the end you add salt and pepper. And, of course, the onions. You need to have onions. On a smaller amount, when I make it at home, I boil it with the vinegar, mm-hmm. the onions.
Oh.
But when you make 200 pounds, then that's a little harder to do.
And so. Importantly, as far as I'm hearing you now, I just want to make sure that this is on podcast record, if you will, there is no sugar in potato salad.
Yes, a little bit of
there
sugar.
Is?
It is just to cut the acid a little bit.
Okay.
Yeah. So actually you boil the vinegar, water, the sugar, salt, and then you pour it over the potatoes.
Mustard?
Some people put mustard in it, but I never did that.
Okay.
Yeah.
So at least now that you can't really attend Deutsche Tage in its old-fashioned form this year, but now at least you have the ingredient list for phenomenal potato salad. So at home, get to town and just make some potato salad. So back to the topic of Deutsche Tage. Thank you for indulging me on the recipe, by the way. How has Deutsche Tage changed over the years?
I don't really think it changed that much, because it was always important to have, except that we don't, maybe the last 20 years, we don't have a speaker anymore. Mm-hmm. It used to be that we always, it was important to have a speaker, and somehow it was decided not to do that anymore, because we had the program itself expanded, because in the meantime we had then the children's language camp, and they were a big part of Deutsche Tage and our garden fest later on. Whatever they learned, they gave little performances and entertained the guests.
So very family-focused.
Very family-focused, yes. Mm-hmm.
Which I think we're still today, too, though.
Yeah, I think so, too. That, like I say, some things have not changed. Most of it hasn't changed.
So it's really, it is a rather traditional couple of days here at the GEI, of course, now. Mm-hmm. And it started originally, just to jump back into the timeline a little bit, it started on Rice Street. Am I right with
well,
that?
Well, that goes really way back when. That was really because from what I was told from people that were much older than I am at that time, that was where the highway building is now. by the Capitol. There was an area, and there was that was facing Rice Street, and there was das Deutsche Haus, I guess they called it.
Yeah.
But I don't know really anything about that at all.
But so essentially, that's where it started, and then with the purchase of our Summit House, it's transitioned over here. Is that about right?
Yeah, it's in a short way. The house got purchased. Now, I had mentioned that we had charter flights, and then there was always a little money left over, and there was that money, and it was, well, what do we do with this money? So maybe we should buy some property. And that's how the house came about.
That's how the house came about. Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. So, in other words, if we want to expand the house, we need to do more charter flights.
They're not allowed anymore. All of a sudden, they were totally canceled by the government. So, but then also, you know, there was more air travel going on too, and it was sort of a reasonable way to go to get to Germany, but then that wasn't necessary anymore, you know, because he had a lot of flights, airlines, more airlines came about, and I don't know all the particulars about
that. And I mean, nowadays it changed anyways, because we presently can't travel as freely. So, of course, there are certain limitations imposed upon us now. And in front of you, I see a pamphlet that I have never seen either. We briefly talked about this before we actually got started today. The Volksfest Association of Minnesota. Mm-hmm. What is this all about?
And, well, it came about to name the organization. And there again, I was not part of that. I was not here yet at that time. It was I think 1957, 1958 in that time, and I came in 63. But when I became part of the organization, then it was already Volksfest Association of Minnesota. And when the house was bought, and then there was then a vote going on, what do we name the house? So it was named das Volksfest Kulturhaus, because it was to preserve and to go on with German culture and language and festivities.
So it still ties to even our mission of today, to be an institute of culture.
Yes, it was always the idea to preserve the culture of Germany. So
we started the conversation in 1964, you having found the your kinsmen, if you will, your tribe, your fellow Germans in town. And, of course, with being involved at organizational levels for Deutsche Tage, I have to ask about the meaning of Deutsche Tage to you. What actually does this mean for you?
Well, first of all, when I first came here, I was so surprised to find so many Germans, and I learned that Minnesota really is the state of German immigrants. And I mean, and they're here and there, but it was also a time, you know, where it was not so easy to even say you're German, you know, because of after World War II, Germans were not accepted so well.
I've heard this in a conversation with Fred Amram as well.
Yeah.
But he also gives a lot of credibility to the GEI for actually having rebuilt what could easily have remained as broken bridges.
Yeah. And I mean, and this is was sent to so great. And I didn't really realize that this was possible, that, you know, you said, well, I'm German, and some people, you know, just it's was not so accepted. But we have, when the house, we just kind of little by little in a quiet way, we work ourselves up to what we are today. And luckily we have all these young, wonderful young people that, and also so many people are so interested in learning German. This is a big surprise.
Yeah, from a class perspective.
This is very big.
As one of the German teachers here, I am continually surprised of course, positively surprised by how many people actually are coming to our classes. It's amazing.
I'm amazed at this, and I'm just so happy about it, because I think I shouldn't say that it was the goal, but it was the goal to preserve the German culture, and language is a big part of that. So, but to have it to that extent, what we have today here in this house, is just amazing.
What do you think the future, if you were to just paint in broad strokes, what do you think the future of Deutsche Tage is going to be, outside, of course, the pandemic that currently is putting a stop to everything?
Well, I hope it always will go on, and in one way or another. And changes maybe always take place in something, no matter what we do or what we have done. But the basic is still there. Now, I made a few notes, but the Deutsche Tage have not always been here at this house. They've been at Minnehaha Park. Mm-hmm. And then from Minnehaha, they went to Highland Park. And there we did not have a stage at Highland Park. At Minnehaha Park, there was a stage. And we couldn't have beer at Highland, at Minnehaha Park.
That's not a German fest.
So that's not a German fest then, right? So it was just to mention a few things, how that developed to come here. And when you have, when you want to rent a park, at, I don't know if it's still this way now, but the president of the organization had to go on New Year's Day, well, not later than midnight, to the office for the park and recreation to get the permit and stand in line. And hopefully you were the first one, because Highland Park was a popular park to have festivities. And the second Sunday in June, we only missed out on one time, that we had to have it down at Harriet Island, down by St. Paul Airport in that area there. So, yeah, that was one thing to... and then my husband was then vice president, and that was vice president of Ways and Means. And he's American, you know, but he put so much effort and work into it to help this along. And then he said, we have all this beautiful property here. Why do we go to a park? You know, why
That's
can't we
point.
Have it here? You know, and at that time, to have it at Highland was a lot of work. We came here at 4 o'clock, and the trailer was loaded with the stage, which our members built themselves. So, and that had to be hauled out there, and we had this big, I don't know, they call it a big boy. It's a trailer without...
Oh, yeah.
You know, and that was the Wagner Greenhouses, they loaned it to us, and hauled all the stuff out at a gift shop, and everything had to be hauled out to Highland Park. And then we started at 4 o'clock in the morning, and then we had breakfast out there, and then we were ready when it opened up. So that's how that happened. And then it came here. And I think it was a very good idea to have it here. And nobody ever mentioned again to go somewhere else. So,
yes, I think we have a phenomenal area here. And I think it's also one of the defining events every year for Summit Avenue and Crocus Hill.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, very much so. Yeah.